Blog Talk Radio. This is Merle with Merle, and I'm your host, Merle Exit, and I'm here calling in from Cleveland, Ohio, and we got some interesting people that are coming on tonight. Well, first I'll talk about why I'm here. I went on a press trip. Yep, one of those again, you know, with the whole group of people. And we've been hanging around doing some stuff. And so what's happening is that I'm going to be having some people from certain places calling in tonight. For instance, we're going to have from the Maltz Museum, Judy Feniger. Is that who's calling in? Yes. Judy, yeah, I got sidekicks with me here. Say hello. Just everybody say hello.
Hello.
Yeah,
hello.
Just so you know that I'm not by myself. So if I, you know, say something funny and stupid like I usually do, then you know, like I got other people here that are going along with me, unfortunately, for them, not for me. So, but anyway, so the Maltz Museum is the Maltz. Is it called the Maltz Jewish Museum?
Maltz Museum of Jewish Heritage.
Okay, you just heard that from Adam. He's going to prompt me just in case, because he's from tourism over here.
Yeah.
But they're calling it not the CVB. It's the
Positively Cleveland.
Positively Cleveland, as opposed to the other one, which is Negatively Cleveland.
Right.
Yeah.
We're positive.
Yeah.
All the way.
We're positive. He's positive that it's Cleveland.
Positively.
Positively. So that's we have. Then we have from the Science Museum. Actually, with the Maltz Museum, the thing we're going to talk about is Superman, faster than a speeding bullet. And that's how far you have to do to get there. It's not quite downtown Cleveland, Maltz Museum, but what, about 20 minutes? It took us about 20 minutes to get there.
Eastern suburbs.
Yeah, okay. And the reason the Superman is because it was two nice young Jewish boys who invented the comic strip. That's, you know, that's why that. Now, then we got to go to the Science Museum. What's the full name of it?
Great Lakes Science Center.
Yeah, thank God I have. Thank God for Adam here. And at the Great Lakes Science Center, we're going to be chatting about Mars. There's a whole thing going on regarding Mars. You know, you never know why we're actually here. You know, apparently there was. We could have been there from Mars coming down to come to. Yeah, you know. And then we also have from University Circle, Chris Ronayne, who's going to talk about University Circle. And, of course, I'm not going to tell you what the hell it is until he gets on so he can tell us what the heck it is.
Sure.
I said hell, right? That's okay. I could, just as long as I don't say shit or fuck, it's okay. And Adam's writing something down for me. But then... But in the meantime, we also have comedian Kate Clinton is going to be calling in. And so what I want to do right now, just to, as a little tease, we're going to hear a bit from her CD right now. Go ahead, CD of Kate. Go ahead. Let it roll. I'm clicking on. Let's try again.
Here's one thing you'll never see me wear. Capri pants. I'm a nice older Irish gal, and we didn't get ankles. I used to have ankles. I don't know where they went. Now I have little dents where ankles should be. Everything's changing. I can't remember where I am in a show anymore. Oh, fine. I get so far out sometimes, I don't know how to come back. I should drop little conversational crumbs. And it's annoying. It could be hormonal. I say to my girlfriend, could you go get me the... Nothing. And life for her has become this kind of bizarre traveling charade game. Just give me syllables. How many syllables? I don't know. What does it sound like? Don't do big concept. I have no clue what you're talking about. And this other weird thing that's starting to happen is I go to bed and I wake up in the morning, maybe about 2 o'clock, I actually touch my chin and a giant hair has sprouted overnight. I've got this giant 2-inch piece of hemp hanging off my chin. It's awful. And it's happening to all my friends now. I mean, I was talking to a friend of mine the other day. She had this thing sprouting out of her chin, and it was backlit. And I was watching. I didn't even hear what she was saying. I was like, well, I have to travel with tweezers now. So, okay, just start over. I didn't hear a word you said. And then you get hot flashes. Isn't that fun? Nobody tells you, though, for a while you're going to get hot flashes and your period. I believe that's cruel. You just always have this thin layer of water on your body at all times. My girlfriend used to say, you're wet. Now she says, you're damp. Lovemaking is now like hydroplaning. Honey, I'm sliding off. Well, dig your hips in, dear. We're going to get little pieces of Velcro. Just put her on. But those capri pants got around darn fast, didn't you think? They got around almost as fast as that computer love bug virus, which I was all right during, because I don't download anything. Well, I do download things, but then I don't know where they go. People say, I sent you a download, did you get it? Yeah. I cannot find them. I think they go into some kind of download purgatory. I know they're in there, because I can hear them at night.
Okay, that's a snippet of Kate Clinton. And so before I continue about Cleveland, you know, I have sponsors, so let's see who all, you know, all right. I know, Barb, you're listening, so I got to do food for you. I hope you had something chocolate before this, Barbara.
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale.
Oh yes, those are my favorite brownies, and you can get them at brownies.com. That's how good they are. They have their own brownies.com. So, all right, so let's get back to Cleveland. Let's talk about what we did here. Let's see. Well, I got here early. I wanted to make sure that I, the airplane. Oh, that was a hoot. So I get off at Continental Airlines. And this didn't really have to do with Continental. This had to do with the Cleveland Airport. I have never taxied so long to get to the, what do you call it?
Gate.
What do you call it? The gate, you know?
Gate.
Thank God I got people around me. I'd be sitting here going, menopause, that'll do it for you, too. So, I mean, we're taxiing and we must have made every single turn, every road that's possible on that airport. I'm sitting there looking out the window going, where the fuck is the gate anyway? I'm looking out there. I couldn't even see where the heck we were going. I'm thinking it's just going on and on and on. And I think it took longer get to the gate than it did to fly from LaGuardia to Cleveland.
It was kind of like a trolley tour. We wanted you to see the scenery while still on the plane.
Well, if there was any to see.
He rang the bell when we got up to the gate.
Yeah, that's what they should have done, rung the bell. Yeah, that's, so anyway, so then I got here, and, oh, and it was late, too. So I was supposed to have lunch. Adam and I were supposed to have lunch. At the Juniper Grill.
Yeah.
Look at that, I'm plugging them, even though I didn't eat there. Oh, what the heck. I hear the food is good, so. And then I went to Marengo Spa, which next week we're going to talk about. They're going to have them on the radio for next week. So we went to Marengo Spa, and I had a facial and manicure. I never get manicures, never. I mean, my nails are like solid rock or whatever, and I said, okay, I'll do manicure. And then it got to the point, she goes, what color nail polish? I go, what? I don't wear nail polish. I hate nail polish. I hate nail polish because it's the perfectionist thing. All of a sudden, I'll be wearing the nail polish, and you know how all of a sudden something scrapes up on one nail. Now I have to figure out how to fix that nail so it's perfect. I can never fix the nail so it's perfect, and it also never matches the rest of the nails. I say the hell with it, and I clean off all the damn nails, so I don't wear nail polish. But so I have clear, as opposed to clear, clear nail polish on right now. And then after that, that's when we went to the Maltz Museum. The Maltz Museum of Jewish Heritage. That's when we went there. Now, one of the reasons that I went there is because on the last press trip out here, was it like in 2005? Was I here? I think that's when I went. And so we went to visit the museum. We went to visit the museum. The problem was it wasn't finished yet. It wasn't open yet. It wasn't totally finished, so I wanted to see what it looked like. It's absolutely magnificent, but we'll talk about that later. So that's, and then what did we do? Oh, that's, then we did, it's been interesting doing food here. Who knows, like, you know, what'll happen with breakfast. We probably go one place, one hotel for juice and another hotel just to have the eggs, another one just for the toast, and then finish up at one to have coffee or the tea.
Progressive,
you know, like, but what is it today? Today we went on the Nautica, what is it, the Nautica?
Nautica Queen.
Nautica Queen, yeah. That was great. And we had lunch on the Nautica Queen, but we didn't have dessert. We didn't have dessert. We had to go over.
Yeah, there was dessert.
No, we had it. The lighthouse. We had to swim to the lighthouse for dessert.
Uh-huh.
You know, that lighthouse with the one that had the barriers? Oh, you didn't go. Oh, God. And I don't swim. But, you know, they have dessert. I heard chocolate. And I had to go, you know, well, I had a lifesaver around me. I don't know what flavor it was, but it, you know. And but anyway, so last night we went to the Hyatt Regency, and that's when we had the welcome reception. And that's when we had the cocktails. But wasn't there food there?
That was the hors d'oeuvres.
The first place was the Marriott.
One of the Hyatt. That's last night was the Hyatt Regency.
No, it was the Marriott.
No?
Marriott. You were at a different.
Oh, the Marriott Hyatt.
Hyatt no. is tomorrow.
Oh, the Hyatt is tomorrow.
Yeah.
But that's why do I have it over here?
I don't know why.
It says welcome reception, the Hyatt Regency.
That's tomorrow night.
That's
no. This is Wednesday. I'm going back to Wednesday. Wednesday we started, and we started at the Hyatt.
Yesterday was Wednesday.
Yesterday was Wednesday. We went to the Marriott.
Okay.
The Marriott and Renaissance. And the Ritz.
Maybe you went to the Hyatt, we went to the Renaissance.
She was there last night. She had the sunglasses on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I had the tentative schedule. I don't know where the hell I was last night.
You were at the Marriott.
I was at the Marriott. But in the meantime, and by the way, I know I have a caller, and I know you're there, by the way. I just haven't clicked on. Just so you know, I know you're there. I know people, what happens is that people like, oh, I have somebody like, Merle, do you hear me? Merle, do you hear me? And of course I don't hear you because I haven't clicked on. But I'll get to you in a second. To have you call in. Let's just see who the heck it is. Who's calling in? All right, I got you on the air now. Who is this?
This is Jim, the trolley driver.
Oh, the trolley driver. Yay. Yeah, we want on Lolly the trolley today.
Jim, could you hear the bell?
Oh, yeah, we can hear the bell. Yeah, cool.
I just want to say you folks done a wonderful job, and like I always say, Cleveland, the best location in the nation.
Well, that's great. Tell us Well, tell us about the trolley thing. What the hell is it about? Tell everybody else.
Okay, we do tours, one-hour tour, two-hour tours throughout Cleveland and the University Circle area, and all kinds of parties, family reunions, and all kinds of stuff. But the best thing is we love Cleveland, and we love to promote Cleveland and show folks what a great, great city we do have.
Well, that's pretty good. And we had three trolleys going. Three lollies.
They're all lollies.
They're all lollies. Where'd you get the lollies?
Yeah, where'd you get the...
You look on the side, they're all lollies. And
yeah, where did lolly come from?
Actually, the husband and wife that founded the trolley tours of Cleveland and back in 1983 were married on August the 20th. And the first, if you look at the numbers on the trolleys, the first trolley number is 820. So August the 20th. And Lolly, I don't know how they came up with Lolly, but I guess because it rhymed with trolley. I don't know.
Oh, good.
That's a good question, though. Yeah. But I just thought that was pretty neat that they were married on August the 20th, so that's why the trolley number, one was 820.
Yeah, we had three trolleys going, because there's a whole bunch of us on this trip. So we had three trolleys going, and we had to remember which one we were on. But it was difficult because with all that drinking we did, we were really, we've been bombed. You should see what we did last night. Did you hear about what we did last night?
I heard the chocolate martinis were pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Well, not just that. We were walking around playing these instruments, walking through the streets playing instruments, you know, like, it was really cool. Yeah, everybody must have thought we were real loony, you know, or... But I had figured out, in case anybody asked, I figured we would, you know, somebody died and this, we were doing this, you know, this was their last request to do this.
Well, I'll tell you, the warehouse district is really happening. There's people all over, sidewalk to sidewalk people, the entertainers. It's fantastic down here tonight. Lots going on. Thanks to you folks.
well, thanks to us. Thanks to people like Adam,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. So,
yeah. Great. Well, it's great to have you talk with us. That's really cool. So you have to get back to work, I guess.
Yes, I do. I got some customers. Yeah. It was really nice talking with you. And,
sure. And you may be the one picking us up later, too.
Yep. I hear you. Well,
okay.
You folks take care. Okay.
You too. Take it easy. See you later.
Okay, so long.
Bye. Yep, so now, that was cool last night. I don't know who set that up, by the way. What was that group?
With the instrument.
With the instrument?
That was possibly
Cleveland.
So we're walking around, and we're just, the glasses. I wish you could see, of course you can't see the glasses. We had these glasses on, and they not just light up. You could program, put whatever program, and they could flicker and stuff like this, you know, all lit up and stuff. So now we're walking around playing percussion instruments, adults, going around playing percussion instruments and following a band and blinking with the lights, but I think what was interesting is where we were. There wasn't crowded enough for anybody to really notice, So that was the hoot last night. So we went to the welcome reception. We had the horses ovaries, hors d'oeuvres, right? And dinner. I have the Renaissance. Did we have dinner at the Renaissance?
No, the Marriott.
Oh, have dinner at the Marriott.
Oh, no, dinner at the
Renaissance.
Here's it. I have my agenda here. I liked. I had a steak.
It was that big bowl.
Yeah. I had the steak.
What was unique about it was, if you don't mind me interjecting.
Who are you?
Who are me?
Yeah.
I'm Action Tours.
Okay.
Action Tours.
What's your name? Tell everybody your name.
Linda and Ron Stair from Action Tours in Detroit.
Okay.
And we're where all the action is.
Okay. What a plug. Go ahead. So
why not?
So what were you saying about the last
week? Well, what was unique about it was the chefs were cooking dinner in the ballroom where we were eating. Did you get up and look at them? It was fascinating. They
I was too busy eating.
Oh, I said, I've never seen this before. They had these stainless steel tables, and they were the bottoms of the tables were covered with this cloth, like a tablecloth kind of thing, totally covered. And they were, about 10 of chefs came out there, and they were busy as beavers, trying to get everything prepared, putting everything on the plate, making it look beautiful.
Which it did.
And it was beautiful when it came to your table, and it was delicious, just as delicious to eat it. I had the halibut, which I thought was very, very good and excellent. And I know, Ron, you want to tell them about your meal?
It didn't last long.
Not real quick. Okay. He shoveled it.
It was mighty good.
Although we had the hors d'oeuvres first, you know, it was 15 minutes later, and we were feeling a little weak, so we had to eat again. That's one thing about going on press trips. There's always food.
There's always food.
But I have to say, this wasn't too bad, because on a lot of press trips, now when you get on the bus and whatever, then there's snacks even on the bus, just in case. They don't want you to get hungry at all. You know, they want to stuff you.
Brad has something to say.
Oh.
On these trips, you start out as people and you end up as cargo.
So, okay, so that's what we did, and we talked about Lala. Oh, we did a tour of the Playhouse Square today. We didn't see a show, but we got to see what the theaters look like. What was unique? I never saw this before. There was a phone booth, a double phone booth, but instead of being a regular phone booth, it's a cell phone booth.
Yeah.
So they have two, like, booths you can go in and close the doors just so you can talk on your cell phone, which I think that's a great idea.
Just to talk upon Playhouse Square, it's the second largest performing arts institution in the nation, second to New York City.
And you're not even reading that from a script. So
no, that's all right up here.
That's good.
Yeah.
He keeps it all up in his focus.
He's smart.
That's in the noggin.
Okay.
Smart.
Yeah. Check it out,
Playhouse Square. So what are the two plays? We saw two, one of them that they're going to have...
Jersey Boys. Yeah. We saw two of the seven or eight theaters. We saw the State Theater and the Allen Theater.
And isn't one of them...
State and the Palace.
Now, isn't one of them going to have Johnny Mathis? Is that what they said? Or is that another place we went to?
Jersey Boys.
No, someone said something about Johnny Mathis is going to be performing.
I don't know.
And they were talking about the fact that he's going to be performing and he doesn't talk. He just comes out there, he does his show. He doesn't do a whole introduction. Why is this doing this? Okay, I don't know. I have to get my, here we go back. Get the switchboard back, because if I don't have the switchboard, Blog Talk, switchboard, here we are.
We're back.
Thank goodness we're back.
Okay.
Wow, I'm not on the air. Okay, call in. Oh, no, I'm on the
air. We're
back. Now I'm back, we're on the air. Ah, and we have a caller, too. I don't even know who it is. Well, it's 8:23. Let me see who's interrupting. No, not who's calling in. And let's see. All right. Here we go again. Now, can you hear me? No, it's not click. Let's do this again. Come on, let's do it one more time. Come on, we'll put you on the air in a minute. I promise it'll work. Come on. Come on, let's go. Am I on the air? I'm on the air. Just hang on. Don't worry about it. Eventually, we'll, let's see. How about if... goodness gracious. Let's do this. Where's the thing? Where's, like, when you want to, not go back. Refresh. Where's refresh? You have a refresh on me?
That's
refresh. This one.
Yep.
Let's refresh and see if we can refresh it.
Are we off the air?
No, we're not off the air now. No. I just lost the switchboard.
No.
If I don't have the switchboard, I don't know what's going on. So hang on there. We're coming. You know this. Something always has to happen. There's always technical difficulties. So while we're often enough. So I'm in the middle of something going, I don't know what to do right now. What am I going to talk about? Oh, I'll play some music. Oh, I can't. I don't have the switchboard. Then I start doing Jerry Lewis routines. I'll do a scene from The Wizard of Oz. Come on. We have, what's the laptop? Is this your laptop?
It's our intern's laptop.
It's the intern. Oh, okay. So we can't promise anything. But it's okay. Hang on now. We know you're there. What's the, do you know what 440 area code is?
No?
440.
Yeah, I mean, it's
probably the mold.
It's probably the mold.
Hang on. Oy vey. Oh, that's what I should say. Oy vey. I kind of horror. We have to wait for this poor person to call in. I don't know what we're going to do about it. I could tell our Jewish joke. All right, I'll tell a joke. Can I tell a joke? I tell a Jewish joke. Okay. Chaim and Zelda. All right. This is not one of those really clean ones, but who cares? Chaim and Zelda. Zelda says to Chaim, Chaim, for my 50th wedding anniversary, I want you to buy me a dress with a plunging neckline. She says, all right. She says, and Chaim, I want you should take me to a swingin' fancy nightclub. He says, all right. So for the 50th wedding anniversary, he buys her this dress, he takes it to the club, and they're sitting around eating a soup, and he's pinching some waitresses. Is that old? There's nothing else for him to do, whatever. And then all of a sudden, Zell turns to him and says, Chaim, I don't feel so good. He says, what's wrong? Yeah, it's wonderful. We're having such a great time here. But, you know, she says, I don't know, Chaim. I want to go home. He says, Zelda, tell me, what's wrong? She says, I'm not sure. I think I have heartburn. He looks down at her. He says, oh, Zelda, you don't have heartburn. Your tits are in the soup. We're still waiting for the computer to refresh. And the poor person from the mall museum is probably going, oh, I can't believe she told that joke on the air.
You're doing
Well, it's only Thursday night. It could be worse. It could be Friday night. Then it forgets, then it would be calling in. Oh, yeah, we're wondering why this is taking so long. Okay, let's see. All right, so let's, what else can I do? Should I do a scene from The Wizard of Oz? I might as well do a scene from The Wizard of Oz. It's hard to do that. Try to do a scene from The Wizard of Oz without people seeing you. It doesn't really work. But, okay, I'm going to do... And yes, and by the way, in case anybody's listening, yes, it is all my voice. This is not taped. All right. So what I'm going to do, a scene from Munchkinland. Ooh. I am a good witch and a bad witch. Oh, me. Why, I'm not a witch at all. I'm Dorothy Gale from Kansas. I am a witch. I'm Glinda, the good witch of the mold, and these are my munchkins. It's all right. You can all come out and thank her. We represent Mary Bailey, the letter Bailey, the letter Bailey. We represent the Lollipop Guild, the Lollipop Guild, the Lollipop Guild. Man, this is a day for independence for all the munchkins and descendants. But the joyous news we spread, the wicked witch at last is dead. Hooray! Hooray! Bah! Who killed my sister? Who killed the wicked witch at least? Was it you?
Oh, me? I didn't mean to kill anybody. It was an accident.
Well, I can cause accidents, too.
Ah, rubbish.
You have no power here. Be calm before someone drops a house on you. Very well.
I'll bide my time, but just try it out of my way. Just try. I'll get you, my little pretty. I love you.
Oh, Annie M., I'm so frightened. I want to go home. Oh, Annie M.
Dorothy.
Oh, Annie M., how do I go home? How do I go back to Kansas? Just follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road? Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick, follow the yellow brick, follow the yellow brick road. We're up to see the wizard, the wonderful wizard of Oz.
And tune in next year for the rest of it. Okay, we're still refreshing. Wow, this is going to be interesting. I'm so sorry. Who's calling? Yes, Judy. I'm so sorry. We need to log back in. Is that the problem? We're going to try doing this all over again. I hope I'm still on the air. Wouldn't that be hysterical? I could not. But of course, Barbara, you can't even let me know that I'm not on the air. So let's, okay, let's try. Here we go. TalkRadio.com and okay, let's do this again. It's just still refreshing. I think I'm screwed for the evening. That says okay. Let's get this back on. Why did you give me a bum? You gave me a bum computer. It's your fault, then, yeah. Adam.
Let me go grab it.
Adam, are you getting another computer? Adam's getting another computer. Isn't that nice? What the tourism will do? Okay. In the meantime, so tomorrow we're going to go to the ball game, aren't we?
Tomorrow night.
Yeah. Oh, so tomorrow night. Oh, so it. Wait. So just to dedicate that, since we're going to the ball game tomorrow, I'll sing my version of "Take Me Out to the Ball Game." Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I never get back for it. Root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game. Isn't that annoying? I started on the wrong note, I guess. So anyway,
I like the Wizard of Oz.
Do we? You like the Wizard of Oz? I know it's just sick, isn't it? Is it coming back? It's still not coming back. Nah, we got to. I think it's stuck though.
Maybe she hit the control alt and delete and knock it out.
Huh?
Yeah, just do delete.
Delete.
Control alt and delete.
Yeah, control alt
and delete. Bring up the screen.
We're bringing in another computer, and. All right, I'll let you do that. Now, I may, just in case, and I'm sorry, I may have to go off the air for a few minutes as we redo this. I'm still calling in. Doesn't matter. I mean, somebody else has a computer going. They could be running the switchboard. It's just basically that I can't see the goddamn switchboard. People around me wanted to know what would happen when I had lived, what would happen. And this is what happened.
Thank you for planning on it. I appreciate it. Thank you for planning on it.
I planned this whole thing just to show you what can happen when things go wrong. Okay, so, SwiftyTheClown.com. Yes. Wasn't he great?
Yeah, he's great.
We had, you can't see, again, we can't see it. I've never seen somebody do a balloon thing as well. I have a balloon. What do you call them?
I'm a ladybug.
It's an octopus.
I have an octopus. Octopus that I wear on my head.
Look at that.
I mean,
colors in that are beautiful.
The color.
There are your eyes.
Yeah, and there's the head there, and all the little legs coming out there, and the thing I wear on my head. So we've been very, very still. So we've been walking around, all right, playing instruments, right, wearing stupid things on our heads with eyeglasses, and this is adults.
Oh, yeah. Professional adults.
A professional adults, right. So basically we have about 12 writers but everybody else is from... And
we're tour operators.
Yeah, tour operators, stuff like that, you know. And
meeting planners.
Meeting planners. They didn't plan this meeting. This is not one that they planned at all. But now tomorrow we're splitting up tomorrow.
Right. You have to do a lot of hotel inspection.
I don't have to. No.
You don't.
The writers get to. We're going to the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
You're
going with
you
us.
Guys.
We're going
with
us.
We're going.
Yeah.
What? You're going to the hotel?
No.
No. Football Hall.
Oh, because you're a writer.
No, they're tour operators.
So who's going? So how do they bring
in? Tour operators and media are together.
Oh, so there's more than 12 of us going to the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Wait a second. Well, all right. I know none of my team is going to be listening to this right now anyway.
You're off. You know, you were talking about all the food before.
Yeah.
You know, what's your...
I'm off. What do you mean I'm off?
Oh, that's your off.
Oh, no, I'm still on the air. I just don't have the computer.
You know, you're on what's called...
How do I know? I have no idea how I know.
You're on what's called a FAM tour, right?
Yeah, I'm on a FAM tour.
Do you know what FAM means?
Familiarization.
Forever a meal.
Forever a meal.
When you were talking about food before, I had to...
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's true. What's going on here?
We're going on here.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to have to redo it on here. I'm sorry about that.
Adam, sorry. Yeah, we'll see.
Technical difficulties. Right?
Technical difficulties.
All right, let's...
So anyway, when I'm going to, what I'm going to be doing tomorrow, since I had gotten the New York Sharks to sign a football... and I had it displayed. It was displayed there for 6 months in their recent acquisitions display. And as the first item ever from a women's tackle football to be displayed at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And so while I'm there, they have things like in their archives and the library. And they said to me, you know, you could always bring stuff down there, send stuff down there. So I'm bringing a T-shirt signed by the team, this year's team, the program from this season, and let's go on here. No, I need to, like, first I got to log in here.
Yeah. Can I exit out of this?
Yeah, you can exit. Exit out of it?
Exit?
What happened now? Okay, I have to log in here. Let's see if this works.
May cause a reverberation.
Yeah.
What are you looking to do?
This computer's messed up. Not connecting.
Okay, let's go back on here. Let's see. Clicking on here to see what we have.
There's a speaker in that.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go back. Let's go switchboard. Click on the switchboard. I'm back. Okay, we're back on. Okay, let's see. Okay, the call is still there. Who do I have? Maltz Museum.
Yes, you do.
Thanks. Thank you for being so patient.
And now I know so much about the FAM tour and all the places you're going, and I know another joke. And I heard you do Glinda, which was my only acting role in fourth grade, so I'm all up to date.
That's great. What I want to talk about is the Superman.
The superhero, Zap Pow Bam, the superhero. What can I tell you? You want me to just start telling you about it?
Why that exhibit? What's that all about?
Well, it's the golden age of comic books, which is the late 30s and 40s, and it's when all the great superheroes were created, Superman first. So the first connection is that Superman is from Cleveland, Ohio. He was created by two young men who went to Glenville High School, which was a big... Jewish neighborhood in those days, the predominant Jewish neighborhood, and he's actually featured in our permanent collection, Bursting Out of the Wall. So that's one thing. But the other thing is that most of the creators of the superheroes were Jewish artists and illustrators and writers, as were most of the owners of the comic book companies in those days. So that's the why we're having it. It's just a wonderful exhibition. It's out of the Bremen Museum in Atlanta. and it's got lots of fun stuff for kids, and it's got lots of historical and interesting stuff, a lot of nostalgia for us boomers who remember growing up with the superheroes, and lots of great stories to tell.
It's great. So that exhibit, that's not there now. It's coming up, right?
It's coming September 16th.
Mm-hmm. But right now we could see a little bit of it.
Well, right now you can see in our permanent collection, which is called The American Story and is the story of the building of Cleveland. It's the story of immigration as told through the eyes of Cleveland, but it could be Minneapolis or it could be Philadelphia. It could be any ethnic group coming to America, and sort of the story of how America was built, and in telling the story of Cleveland and what was going on in the world, in the country, in the world at that time, one of the things we do have a case on is Superman and his creators, their high school yearbook, some of the original first comics, and just a little bit of background on some of the things that I just told you about.
That's great. What do you think is like the size of the museum, to get people to have an idea of the size?
Well, the size of the museum, I don't know if people will relate to square footage. We have about 23,000 square feet, and that's in, we have three galleries and then public spaces. We have a theater that seats 70 people. So the largest piece is the American story that I just described to you, and that's really a panorama from the 1800s up to present day of lots of different stories and interactives and films and videos. If you came to our museum and only sat and saw the films, it would take you about an hour just to do that. We tell people for our permanent collection to allow at least a couple hours. Then we have a collection of Judaica, the Temple Tefereth Israel, which is next door to us, our neighbor, has their Judaica collection, literally priceless objects from back through the centuries. And then we have a special exhibition gallery in which we exhibit changing exhibitions, some that we curate ourselves and some that we bring in from other places, like we've brought one in from the U.S. Holocaust Museum in Washington. Next year we're bringing in one from the Spy Museum, the International Spy Museum in Washington, which we sort of call our sister museum because we were the creator and concept for both of those museums was done by the same people, Milton Tamar Maltz, who also founded our museum. So that changing exhibition gallery lets us display all different kinds of topics and ideas and points of view, and that's where the superheroes will be this fall, starting on September 16th.
Now, what is the charge to get into the museum, and does it also include going to the synagogue to see, or as I say, the shul to see the collection there?
Yeah, actually, a part of their collection, the major part of their collection, is within the museum. So while the shul is next door to us, the collection is part of our museum,
okay.
And the admission charge does cover all of our galleries, and it is $12. When we have a special exhibition like the superhero, it's $12 for adults, $10 for seniors or students. Children under the age of 5 get in for free, and, of course, our members always get in for free.
Right. Do you have a website?
We do. It's www.maltzjewishmuseum.com. Maltz Jewish Museum, that's all one word, MaltzJewishMuseum.org. Or you can just Google Maltz Jewish Museum or Maltz Museum and you'll find it.
Okay. That's great. That's really great. I really appreciate you calling. I more appreciate you hanging on while we were going through our technical difficulties.
Well, I'm glad I'm not the only one that has technical difficulties. You made me feel better.
Oy vey, that's all I kept
great.
On saying, you know. But thank goodness, oy. Or should I spit between my two fingers, you know, right?
Whatever works for you.
Yeah, whatever works for me, right? But I thank you for calling. Is there any particular either, not the collection, but any other exhibit or something that you would say people need to see this in particular? Any one other?
Yeah, I think I'll say a couple things. Within our permanent collection, we're very much, people tell us when they walk through, they say all the time, you should position yourself as a diversity museum, of diversity and tolerance, because it's really about all different cultures and how we're more the same and different than different, and you know how we can all live together. So there's one section, one theater that's called the Hate Theater, and the displays in there and the artifacts and the films are all about different kinds of prejudice and hate. So if you only had a 10 minutes, there's another theater that's the Wonderland Theater that's just great old clips of Jewish actors and actresses throughout time, everybody from the Marx Brothers and Paul Newman and Exodus on up to current day. And then in the special exhibition gallery, we will have coming up next week, starting on the 15th of July, just a real quick 12 days of a display called Tents of Hope. It's a Darfur awareness project. That's a national project that we're displaying tents from 9 different faith organizations around town. That'll be there for 12 days. And then I mentioned next year, late spring, the exhibition from the Spy Museum is called The Enemy Within, and it's about terrorism in America. So I think the point is we always have lots of things going on. We have programs regularly throughout all these exhibitions on these topics and others. We have special holiday programs and Sunday family days, and I would just say go to the website because you'll see lots more
Great.
Than we talked about today.
Great. Thank you so much for giving us all this information. It's really cool. This is a great part of Cleveland to, well, it's not in Cleveland, but, something that shouldn't be missed,
Great. Well, thanks for having us on.
Okay, and have a great evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Now, we're going to go to a commercial, and right after the commercial, last I know you, that we got the Science Museum.
Great Lake Science.
On the air, and we're going to talk about Mars right after a quick commercial.
Thank you for calling JetBlue. May I help you?
My cousin was telling me you guys have extra leg room.
Uh-huh. We have extra leg room as compared to a normal coach seat.
Okay. If I don't have an extra leg, can I use that room for something else?
No. That is not what the extra leg implies. We took out one whole row of seats, and that gave the rest of those rows a couple of extra inches of leg room.
Ah.
I understand what you mean. The words extra leg imply that, but it has nothing to do with having an extra leg.
I'm a pretty literal person.
Uh-huh. Well, that would be taking it very literally.
I guess a little too literally.
Okay. Is there anything else I can help you with?
I think that's it. You've been pretty helpful.
Thanks for calling JetBlue.
Dear traveler, stretch out. We now have the most legroom in coach. Visit us at JetBlue.com. Sincerely, JetBlue, based on average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines.
Okay. So, and yes, isn't that, I love that commercial, JetBlue. And so now, let's see. Come on, open up. Okay. Who do I got on the air now?
This is Dante.
Oh, okay. So it's, right, yes.
Great Lake Science Center.
Oh, yes, okay. It's Mars. We're talking about Mars today. Tell us all about the exhibit that you have, the whole phenomena. Why Mars? What's happening?
Well, we at the Science Center, we had a really great opportunity because the main IMAX movie we've been showing for a couple of months is something called Roving Mars, which is about those two little rovers that have been on Mars and exploring Mars for 3.5 years when they were supposed to last just 3 months. And because of the partnership with the movie and relationship with the Jet Propulsion Laboratory out in California, we were able to get on loan for the entire run of the movie a full-scale model of one of the rovers. And then we decided to build up on that and put some programming around it. And that's a little-known fact that even people in town don't know this. There's a NASA center right here in Cleveland, the Glenn Research Center. And not only that, they also were involved in some of the testing of the Mars rovers. So you can say, the path to Mars goes through Cleveland. But so we got some programming and content with them. This weekend is our Mars Marathon. We're having an engineer coming out here from JPL who worked on the Mars rovers and is working on the next rover. She's bringing some demonstrations, a little rover prototype people could see. Going to be here Saturday. We're getting people from Glenn also. We have a 3D banner up for this week that is 20 foot long. You put on the glasses, and it's like you're standing on Mars. It's really, really cool.
Cool.
So, yeah, so, I mean, Mars, people are really interested in Mars. It's it's the planet everyone kind of thought there might be life. And just kind of it's really captured the hearts and imagination of people, not just folks who are into science and astronomy. So it really was a good topic for the film and a good topic to kind of, you know, build programming around. So it's going to be a fun day.
Now, as far as the movie, I saw the movie. Now, it's like part Disney or part what?
Animation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
no,
part Disney. Real? Or how much of it was? How much of it is real?
Well, there's some very good computer animation there that simulated the landing and the rover on the surface. Now, anything you saw that showed the rover in the picture in its entirety was computer animation because there are no cameras that are outside of the rover, so that's a good, you know, good thing to look at there. But what they did with the animation was after they landed, they went back and they developed a Martian landscape in their, you know, the computer animation, you know, hard drives or whatever that's based on the real pictures. So it's computer animation in the movie is very, very realistic. I mean, they. Even to some of the details on the rover body itself, some of the wear and tear and things like that, and the actual topography of the landing site. So the computer generated, the CG portions of the film are very realistic. Then, you know, there isn't an IMAX camera on the rovers. You know, that would be like the entire weight of the rocket if you
right.
did that. But they do, in the movie, there are lots of images that are actually from the panoramic cameras up there. And as you saw the film, they were with them when they were, you know, integrating the rovers and testing them, which was a real, real fascinating part of the film. They were, you know, watching the testing process while chutes were failing and landing bags were failing, and they had a launch window that they had to meet, and if they missed that launch window, there's your chance. So you could really, you know, see the anxiety of the engineers. It's not like, okay, well, if this doesn't work, you know, we'll try it next year. No, there's your launch window, and then you have to wait, you know.
So what according to the movie, what was actually found or not found, or where are we with Mars?
Well, that's the beautiful part is that the movie, you know, was, you know, finished maybe a year and a half ago, and the story of the rovers are still going on. That's what makes it really great movie to watch, because the movie ends and the narrator is talking about, you know, the rovers have gone so long and I don't know how much longer they go, and here you are, summer 2008, and the rovers are still out there. You know, they're showing their age, they're having some wheels that are giving them trouble, but they're still out there and they're planning to do stuff with them. And probably the biggest discoveries of the rovers was finding some minerals that really, really gave very strong evidence that there was once water and lots of water on Mars, because these minerals are only formed in the presence of water, and water that had to have been standing for some time, and it wasn't, you know, like a flash flood. There was evidence those rovers discovered that there probably were some extensive shallow oceans. Now, since then, we landed the Phoenix lander just a couple of months ago. And that's a lander, not a rover. But one thing it can do that the rovers can is it could actually sample the soil. It could dig into the soil. It could analyze it. And it's also in a polar region. So it's a very high latitude. So that, just a couple of weeks ago, discovered water. And that lander was the first conclusive evidence that, yes, there is indeed water on Mars, in the form of ice. But that was still a really big discovery. So, you know, I mean, right now, when you think of it, it boggles the mind when you think about it. We have two rovers on Mars.
Did they test the water?
They found it. They haven't analyzed it yet because they only have a couple of ovens that can kind of break down the soil, and it takes something like 8 days for it to slowly process the soil in there. So they haven't analyzed it, but it was water because they could tell from the pictures and the way it behaved that it was water because it disappeared after they exposed it. And under those atmospheric conditions, the only substance that would have behaved that way physically was water ice. So that's how they know it was water. So you have Phoenix. We have two rovers. We have a lander that are operating. And we have two satellites that are orbiting Mars. The Europeans have another satellite orbiting Mars. So right now there's six active spacecraft monitoring Mars right now. It's really fascinating when you think about it.
Wow. So I just want to get a little off the topic, but you also have, because I want to kind of mention that I don't want to say second best, but you also have this whole thing on Einstein going on.
Einstein's is our traveling exhibit for the summer. It's a traveling show. It'll be here through Labor Day. It's produced by the American Museum of Natural History in New York, and it'll go to another site after that. But we're really, really pleased to have Einstein here. It's a really, really solid exhibit that takes you through his science and his person. Because what I like about that exhibit, if you're really into the science, you'll find some things that helps explain relativity in a really concise way. But if you really knew nothing about the person, you learn a lot from there. You find out, there are things in there like, some of his, love letters that he wrote to his first wife. There's some people maybe didn't even know he had two wives and he was divorced and he married his second, and his second wife was a cousin of his, so things like that you wouldn't know about. He got all these letters from children that he responded to. He was asked to be the president of Israel. Towards the end of his life. I mean, it's things you wouldn't even realize. And then for the folks who don't follow the science too much, there's some good exhibits in there that kind of break down. Okay, why is this important? Why was this? What was so significant about Einstein's discovery? I mean, the thing that amazes me is his theory of relativity was really out there. I mean, it was, to him it was intuitive, but it deals with things that are beyond people's everyday experience, traveling at the speed of light, things like that. But his theory did predict certain ways that relativity could be proven. And one of them would be that, gravity could bend light. And in his, general relativity theory, he basically said, if there is a total eclipse of the sun, it should deflect the stars, this way. And sure enough, a couple of years after he published his theory, which to the general public, it was, hardly a mention, and even within physics circles, it was well received, but still, theoretical, there was a total solar eclipse of the sun. An English astronomer went on an expedition, because this was in 1919, and they were carrying those big cameras, and they had to go to where the eclipse was in Africa, Brazil, wherever it was. They took photographs, and months later, when they analyzed the data, lo and behold, the stars that you couldn't see unless the eclipse was in place were shifted, just like his theory predicted. And the next day, there were headlines in the New York Times just saying, Einstein's new theory of gravity is revolutionary, turning the world upside down, things like that, and he became an instant celebrity. When he visited the United States for the first time, in like 1921, I mean, he had ticker tape parades. A theoretical physicist had a ticker tape parade. Let's think about that. I mean, you're not going to see that again, as much to my dismay. I don't think you're going to see a theoretical physicist getting a ticker tape parade. He was just totally a celebrity almost immediately.
So let me ask you, there's a website for the museum. What is the website?
It's www.greatscience.com.
Great science?
Greatscience.com. Mm-hmm. Information on the exhibits that they're currently displaying, admission, hours, all that kind of stuff so that you can plan your visit.
Okay, fabulous. I'm thank you for calling in. And we'll keep up to date on what's going on with Mars you know, of course, if something happens, you know, you'll call in another time. You could see that you can always call into a show while I'm on and, you know, and update us.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much. And a quick thing, what's the charge to get in to the...
General admission to the Science Center for the general exhibit, $9.50 for adults and $7.50 for youth. Einstein exhibit is $3 extra. And, you know, if you do a combination ticket, like you do the exhibits and Omni, that's extra too. It would be like $14.95 for adults and $9.95
okay.
for youth. But the Mars exhibit, the Mars experiences, except for the movie, are part of your admission. You pay general admission, you'll see the JPL engineer this Saturday and everything.
Great. Thank you so much. Have a great evening.
You too.
And again, thanks for calling in.
No problem. My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
All right. Have a good
Bye.
Night.
Good night. We're going to go to commercial. We'll take a quick commercial break. And after the commercial break, we have Chris from the University Circle that's calling in. So let's, you know, it's the... Those sponsors, they got to get their 2 cents in here. Well, okay, more than the 2 cents. Here we
Italy,
go.
Spain, Greece, Turkey. Stuff it. We do at Santa Barbara Olive Company. Jalapenos, sun-dried tomatoes, almonds, blue cheese, stuff produced in California. And we stuff some of our cold-pressed olive oils with California garlic and herbs grown right here in our backyard. Our olive oils have been pitted against some of the finest imports. And guess who exceeds in taste tests? Santa Barbara Olive Company. It's the stuff that makes a product great.
Oh, yeah. More about food, of course. Okay, so now we get to talk about exactly what is University Circle. You're on the air. Tell us.
How are you, Merle?
Oh, fabulous.
Good. I'll tell you what. First of all, you made me hungry again with that ad. This is Chris Ronayne. I'm with University Circle Incorporated, and I'm coming at you from Cleveland, Ohio. And quickly, what University Circle is all about, we had a good write-up in the New York Times 2 years ago when a New York Times reporter came out to explore the American Midwest and stumbled over one of America's great treasures right here in Cleveland, Ohio. And it is University Circle, which is the confluence of three universities, three nationally renowned hospitals, and importantly for visitors and travelers, some of the greatest arts and cultural institutions in America in one spectacular square mile here in Cleveland, Ohio. And so we're excited to be on your show, and we're excited to pitch Cleveland to some summer visitors as a destination. It may not have always been first on your list, but when you think of some great, great icons of Cleveland, like the Cleveland Orchestra or our Cleveland Museum of Art, and the myriad of other arts and cultural institutions that line a spectacular square mile called University Circle, it's the place to be, and we've got some great summer programs out here.
Now, I'm going to go particularly, I'm going to the Botanical Garden.
Terrific.
Is there any specific exhibit there that I shouldn't miss?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, Cleveland's one of those places. It's truly an all-American city. It's I think a lot of people have different images of Cleveland, but I'll get to the Botanical Garden in a minute. But just a little bit about the context of our city. We were, before John D. Rockefeller made his way to New York, and after he'd come out to Ohio from Pennsylvania, he made his first fortune in Cleveland, Ohio. And he really endowed us with this terrific cultural district. He left a lot of land for us. Ultimately, he was buried right down the street from University Circle in Lakeview Cemetery, right alongside President Garfield. But he left us this great cultural district in the way of a lot of land for us to build on. And 150 years ago, we started building arts and cultural museums quite like the National Mall in Washington, D.C. Cleveland may be a more affordable visitor destination for a lot of your listeners and readers. And to get to your ask about the Cleveland Botanical Gardens, you'll make my wife, Natalie Ronayne, happy. She's the director at the Cleveland Botanical Gardens. This summer, it is all about their flora. They just came off an exciting Japanese exhibit called Zensai, which was a exhibit having to do with Japanese horticulture. They are specifically this summer, if you catch us midweek on a Wednesday night, they're doing what they call Gourmets in the Gardens. And Gourmets in the Gardens is It's a food teaching program at the Botanical Garden using the best of our herbs and different natural things that go into our foods. So every Wednesday night, alongside a great concert on the great lawn of an area called Wade Oval, which is the sort of our national mall within Cleveland, Ohio, it's a wonderful, comfy outdoor courtyard that is the sort of centerpiece of four museums around the courtyard. But the Gourmets in the Garden fans out into the garden. You can soak up an evening in one of the great botanical gardens of America and then listen to music on the great lawn of Wade Oval. The great thing is we have a museum hopping package where, say, midweek you want to come out here and see all that we have to offer. We just opened up our Cleveland Museum of Art again, one of the renowned North American museums, and really has a global reputation when it comes to certain collections of theirs. But they just reopened a building that they've renovated that was built in 1916. And one of the great architects in the world, Raphael Vannoli, is working on a very, very substantial addition to that museum. Great collections. It's one of the greatest Monet collections in America outside of France, and it's a terrific collection. You could just walk from the Botanical Gardens across the courtyard to the Cleveland Museum of Art. Along your walk, you could also find the Cleveland Museum of Natural History, which has one of the great, great dinosaur collections in North America in its facility. They just discovered, actually, up in Alberta, Canada, a new dinosaur. The scientists over at the Natural History Museum, it's an iteration on the Triceratops dinosaur, and they've got a story to tell about that over there. If you walk then just a few hundred yards over to our historical museum, we have one of the great summer exhibits on display. It is called Vatican Splendors. It's from St. Peter's Basilica, Vatican City, Rome. And we are one of three cities in North America, and I think this is really worth coming to Cleveland just for this, because it's probably the nearest destination to most people living in North America. It's a drive to about 80% of the North American population in a day's drive, or take a flight and just come in and see what we've got to offer. But I went over there the other night to Vatican Splendors, and the Vatican has opened up to the public for a first time a viewing into many of the jewels and treasures of Rome, the Vatican. It's only been in three North American cities, and Cleveland is one of them. With treasures dating back to the first century, they've got pieces on display that go back to days of St. Peter's, and it's really amazing. I was intrigued with some of the stories that were told, such as the story of one of the popes who was invited up to crown, grudgingly he went, to crown Napoleon emperor, and when he met Napoleon for that crowning, Napoleon would not let the pope actually give him the crown. He put it on himself, and then he sent it grudgingly back to the pope. Well, it's interesting that that crown is actually now on display. It was in the hands of Napoleon and the pope at the time. It's on display in this Vatican exhibit at the Western Reserve Historical Society. Great stories of some of the great popes like John Paul and others, and it's really an exciting exhibit. So that's kind of a sampling of a summer in University Circle, Ohio, one of the, I think, understated cultural collections in America, and about four or five museums all within a few hundred yards walking distance of one another. And if you stick around, you can catch the Cleveland Orchestra. Again, we like to say it's one of the top three orchestras in the world, next to Vienna and Berlin. It is the premier American orchestra, and they have a summer series just down the road at something called Blossom Music Center. So it's a spectacular square mile of arts and cultural institutions built 150 years ago by Cleveland's industrial wealth, people like John D. Rockefeller that left a legacy of money that made us able, in a relatively mid-sized Midwest city, to really express globally significant arts and cultural institutions. So it's one of those don't miss all American cities.
Now, where are you located in terms of downtown Cleveland?
Sure. We're in the uptown neighborhood, 4 miles from downtown. And for a traveler, it's a very easy place to get to. So we're just 4 miles east of downtown. If you come in off the airport, you can catch a direct train right into University Circle, jump off, stay a night at our Glidden House, which is one of our great, smaller hotels here. It's got a lot of charm. It's where the conductors stay with the Cleveland Orchestra when visiting conductors come in. But you can jump in just off the Red Line transit line from the airport, or, you know, it's about a 25-minute cab ride from our Cleveland International Airport. If you're downtown catching, other venues like our great Rock and Roll Hall of Fame or our Science Center on Great Lake Erie, it's about a 20-minute bus rapid transit ride from downtown. And we are building, actually, a sort of 21st century streetcar called the Euclid Corridor, the Health Line, actually, which is reflective of our hospitals, the Cleveland Clinic and University Hospitals that are sponsoring this. But it's a quick 20-minute trip from downtown. You know, Cleveland's got a lot of signature brands. We are well-known, I think, for the Cleveland Clinic. We've been well-known for the Cleveland Orchestra. A lot of people know us for rock and roll. We were the town, and that's hence why we have the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame here, where rock and roll was coined on the radio by a great radio DJ in the 1950s named Alan Freed. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is worth a visit. But the beauty of Cleveland is it's all very compact. You can visit all of these things in a couple days over a weekend's time.
Yeah, and by the way, with the University Circle, now, you said, like, there's a package, so you can go to a number of museums or...
You're right. We do it. We have a reciprocal ticketing package. All of the museums I mentioned are a part of a reciprocal ticketing package whereby if you just show, they've made it pretty easy, if you just show your receipt and then go to the next museum, you get a couple bucks off at each museum, literally $2 off at each museum you visit. And so end of the day, you visit five of them, you've saved $10. And actually, the admission prices are sort of Midwest pricing. They're very reasonable. We're talking $7 to $10 for most of our museums.
Okay.
And actually, the Cleveland Museum of Art, I should mention for the listeners, is a free one. These wealthy industrialists of yesteryear left a huge endowment for the Cleveland Museum of Art, which has made it free to the public every day. And to see Monet's water lilies on display for free is terrific.
That's great. Yeah, we'll be there tomorrow.
Terrific. Well, we look forward to seeing you out here. You know, it's a great way to spend a weekend in a great American city like Cleveland. Again, it doesn't always register as a top city to visit, like a New York, a Toronto, Boston, San Francisco, but it's so convenient, and it is so affordable, and these world treasures right under your nose. It's incredible what's here, and I'd urge you to bring a friend and come on back. I mean, my uncle came out last summer from Chicago, and he had his top 10 list of things he wanted to do, and there's some real treasures. I mentioned just a stroll through Lakeview Cemetery, seeing America's history unfold. Ohio is interestingly the place of 7 presidents, and there's a lot of sort of presidential history out here too. Abraham Lincoln's personal secretary, John Hay, lived in University Circle, so there's a little bit of a historical walking tour as well. And we are opening a visitor center in University Circle. It's just something not to be missed, and I'm really glad that you're going to be making your way out here.
Okay. Yeah. So,
By the way, thank you very much
for calling in.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I should say to you, as we started the commercial on an Italian food note, don't miss Little Italy, our Little Italy in Cleveland. It's a mecca of ethnic immigrants, one of the larger contingents being the Italian community here in Cleveland. And we've got a great stretch along Mayfield Road and Murray Hill, just over about a block over from University Circle. If you're going to be here and visit the cultural museums, take a night out in Little Italy. Last thing I'll say on that cultural front, in John D. Rockefeller's legacy park that he left for us, we have built something called the Cleveland Cultural Gardens, and it's a collection of over 25 different ethnic gardens that are just beautiful, celebrating all the different ethnicities of Cleveland. So, you know, you might come for a weekend and find yourself coming back for a week next summer.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the time. Enjoy your visit.
Yeah, maybe we'll see you tomorrow then.
You got it, Merle. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Have a good evening. Bye.
You too.
Yeah, we're going to have, we certainly have a long trip ahead of us. And so to dedicate that trip, I'm going to play a song right now.
Down and die.
oh, yeah, we'll all survive it. It's actually, it's pretty good. The weather's pretty good the last couple of days here. It's
81 degrees.
Yeah, but I got a little suntan on the ship today. Right on my nose. My nose got burnt. I keep forgetting I have to put, you know.
That's how the weather is here all the time.
Oh, is it really? I see. So, you know, no rain. You never have rain. Not at all. No floods, no rain, no snow.
Just sunshine.
Yeah. Mm. Right, you know. And so I would tell you what we're doing tomorrow, except so I have this thing, this Cleveland Plus All-Star Showcase. I have an agenda that I wear around my neck. This is so cool. They didn't. That's the good news. The good news, they gave us an agenda to wear around your neck. The bad news, see, when I type in Times Roman, you know, with the 12 font. This is in one font, I think.
I think it's 9 point
Helvetica. What is it, 9 point what?
9 point Helvetica.
Helvetica, is, you know. But, you know, now that I kind of like, because I have enough, there's enough light where we are, I could see, actually read this tiny little print. I used to, when I used to cheat in school, I was cheating on tests. You'll find that about my book. Oh, yeah, that's right, everybody. I'm writing a book. I'll tell you about that some other time. But in the book, I talk about one of the things. I always cheated in school. I just thought it got to be fun. How many ways can you cheat? Which really brought down what don't I have to memorize for the test and totally forget afterwards because it's just for the test. So I would actually be able to write print like this. Would you believe it? Just like this. I could write the preamble to the Constitution on a piece of paper about like 2 inches across and maybe 1 inch, you know, up and down in it. The whole preamble to the Constitution. I could put three answers on each nail. I had it all figured out how to do all this. But I have to say, this was actually the funny thing that had happened. I had never ever got caught cheating. All the time, no matter what I did, I just never got caught cheating. Until one day, but this had nothing to do with school. I was in the movie Up the Down Staircase. And as part of the scene, we're sitting in the room, and part of the scene was called for us taking a test. So because the scene was called for taking a test, I did what I normally do. I'm cheating. The guy next to me. Well, I didn't get a script for that day because I didn't have any lines that day, so I didn't know what the script said. And in the thing, the principal comes into the room, and he talks to the teacher. And as he's about to leave, the room, he turns around, and he goes, "Third row, second seat, eyes on your own paper." And it was me. And I had the butterflies in my stomach. It was horrible. It was like, oh, I can't believe I got caught. No, this can't be on the script. And I said, somebody, I got to see this. And that's what the script called for. Third row, second seat, eyes on your own paper. He didn't make it up. So every single time the line went that he did this, whether it was, you know, a take, rehearsal, whatever, I had butterflies in my stomach. Because, yeah, that's. Get caught cheating no matter how, or even if it's not even real. Yes, my life is a book. I'm waiting for Kate Clinton to call in. I don't know what happened with her. I hope it's not set up because sometimes somebody calls my home phone number and then, of course, I have no idea that they're calling in. But it's already like I have 9 minutes left to the end of the show, so I don't know how much she can actually talk to us about it, so maybe I'll get her for next week. We can end the show early. No, it doesn't matter. Is there anything we want? I talked about Swifty the Clown, right, SwiftyTheClown.com, that's the guy.
Amazing.
He wasn't. I know. He really was. It's with the balloons. Is there anything else? Anything you guys want to plug? I got the people from the tourism thing. What do we call Positively Cleveland? Positively, yeah.
Positively
Cleveland. Is there anything you wanted to plug while you're here?
No. I mean, you talked to University Circle, right? And you
Yeah.
Who else?
The
Great Lakes Science,
Great Lakes Science Center.
Malt Museum.
And the Malt Museum, yeah. We got that.
I think one person that you're not going to talk to ever that we might want to mention is that we have the Christmas Story House and Museum in Cleveland.
The Christmas Story House Museum?
Yes.
Oh, that's in this building.
It's actually in a neighborhood called Tremont.
In Tremont.
Yeah. Christmas Story, the classic cult classic film.
You know, they can't hear you there. If you want, come
all
over
right.
here and tell everybody over here. She's talking to me from across the room.
I'm sorry.
You
I'm
know,
sorry.
And she thinks because I can hear her that you can hear her.
Well, I just thought you were a genius at the computer.
Oh, I see. Well, reveal your name.
I am Samantha Freiberger, Sam Freiberger, Director of Communications at Positively Cleveland. And I do PR and communications for the city of Cleveland, the positive PR.
Who does a negative PR?
There is no negative
PR. Oh, okay. Just wondering. Since you do the positive.
That's
so,
right.
What is it about the Christmas Story?
Well, you know, the cult classic film that has replaced A Wonderful Life as the Christmas film that everybody watches when Ralphie Parker wants the BB gun for the Christmas gift. It was filmed in two places. There was a stage that it was done on in Canada.
Yeah.
But the outdoor shots, the house shots, the parade shots, they were all done here in Cleveland, Ohio. And so the parade was filmed right out here on Public Square, and the house is in a neighborhood that we call, it's on the near west side, it's called Tremont. And so Brian Jones, who was a young man, decided to start selling the leg lamps that are in the film. If you remember, his dad gets the major award, and it's a sexy woman's leg with a lamp on the top of it. And he really loved the movie, and his parents made him a leg lamp, and he started making leg lamps and selling them. So as that became more and more popular, someone said to him, I think the house where they filmed the movie is on eBay. So he went on eBay, and he saw, lo and behold, the house where the Christmas Story was filmed was on eBay. So he bought it, and he restored it to the original glory that was in the film. And it's still in a neighborhood that is really just a neighborhood. So the people that live next door to it are the people that live next door to it when they filmed the film. And actually the film is based on a Gene Shepherd story, and Gene Shepherd was from Indiana. And they wanted a neighborhood that looked like Indiana, so they found it in Cleveland, which is interesting. So as an ode to Cleveland, because it was actually supposed to be Indiana, they call it Cleveland Street that they lived on. So they've restored this house. It's open for tours. It's restored to look as much like the original set as possible, plus the outside is the original set. And you can go through it. And then across the street, they have things like, if you saw the movie, did you see the movie?
Oh, sure.
All right. So you remember his brother put on the snowsuit?
Yeah.
Said, I can't put my arms down.
Yeah.
The snowsuit is in the museum across the street. They have the cars that were in the original movie. They have photos that were in the original movie, and a lot of the people that live on the street, because it's really very strange, because you're driving down a street, I mean, it's strange in a good way, you're driving down a street where all these people actually live, and then in the midst of it is this museum just nestled between two regular people's homes. But they don't mind, because they were in the movie. They were the extras, and they were there when it was filmed,
oh, cool.
And they remember all the actors, and it's sort of their chance to share their story. So it's open year-round, and that's open, and then obviously when you come in the wintertime, particularly on Thanksgiving weekend, the weekend after Thanksgiving, they have a big convention here.
Are we going to it? What's that?
We're not going
we're
to
not
go,
going
but
to
I will
it.
Take you by it if you'd like. But, you know, that's one thing. That's the thing about Sam Tours Mall. You can't take everybody to everything, unfortunately. But I think that
I wanted to go to everything.
Everything?
I did that on the last trip.
That's right. You have to come back, like girl. You have to come back a couple of times.
Right.
To get it all in.
They
have the museum, and then on Thanksgiving weekend, they have a big reunion of all the actors that were in the movie. And people can come, and they give them Lifebuoy soap, and they give them the little Orphan Annie decoder pins, and they stay at the Renaissance, because the Renaissance is on Public Square, and it's right where the parade went past. So it's a really a fun experience. And surprising how many people really love that movie and are willing to make a pilgrimage just to see the house where it was filmed. It's really, really amazing.
You'll shoot your eyes out.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Yeah. Go to it too.
Your what?
How many one-eyed kids? Come
yeah.
That would do it.
In case you didn't hear it, I got Donald.
Donald.
He's over here. I don't know what the hell he does. What do you do, Donald?
I write. I'm
he's a writer. He's a
journalist. After I do this, I travel.
Oh, good.
I have
okay.
to get out of town.
Yes.
Roll up the car.
Yeah.
Murphy, roll up the car.
Yeah, so well, I don't know. We'll go some other time, I guess.
We'll have to come back to Cleveland to see it.
Just see all the one-eyed kids that got their eyes shot out.
They do. They wear patches, and they kind of, like, if you've got a left eye, you're on the left side of the parade. You're on the right side. You know, there's a little organization here in Cleveland, and it's like the one-eyed children organization, and they get together and it's from the air guns. Really. The kids duck down. Every time they hear balloon break, they duck under the tailgate. So
I got competition over here, by the way.
A budding comedian.
Yeah. No, not at all. This is really true stuff. I don't know. Life is, you know, like.
Yeah, I know. Life sucks sometimes.
Sometimes it does. You can't get a hold of that lantern. Yeah. I mean, I went to bed with that lantern several times. It didn't light up for me. The bulb must have been broke. But the point is that you've got to come back out here to Cleveland to see a lot more. This is the Middle America exposed. It's like you've never seen Middle America. You just come right out here. You've heard the term before, Middle America. It's like, okay, fine, you know, come here. You'll see Middle America. You can come see the Middle American house and the little quaint Middle American stories and the Middle American little downtown area, which is great. It's like everything you've dreamed and read about still exists here amongst the improvements. So that's something I've never seen. I come from the big town, big city.
The big city, huh?
The big city, the big humongous city, and it's wonderful to become here. And I'm sure that they have a band shell someplace. We just haven't come up against it yet.
We have four outdoor amphitheaters.
Four band shells.
Well, we're running. The time is going to run out in about 1 minute, so I have to end the show. Thanks everybody for helping me,
thank you.
And thanks Adam for getting another computer to help me. Yeah, this is my title, my cat. Yeah, my cat, Traveler.
Say hello to everyone. Say goodbye to everyone.
I know you're the host of the show. I understand.
That's it.
That's it.
If people want to write you letters, they write it care of the...